But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right, what is up, everybody? This is Scott. I don't know what kind of accent I was going for there.
What the hell? Sounded like me trying something.
I don't think I could do any accents. I don't know if I can. I never really tried too many accents.
Unlike you, the master. Russian is the only one for me.
My favorite is how... I'll be like, bro, do a Mexican accent, and it just turns Russian by half. It takes a sharp ride into Russian, real quick.
Four words in, it's like, wow, Berlew's a great actor. He could play a Mexican guy, and then, whoop, all right, he's Drago. Never mind.
I would break you. So, guys, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. I don't know what I just did there, but that's okay. That's kind of how this whole thing goes. If you've known me and you listen to the show, the intro is my least favorite part. This is the part that is really tough for me. Introducing the show, and how do I keep it interesting? How do I spice it up? How do I add variety? How do I say hello to you guys differently every week without sounding like a loser? And today I failed again. So it's okay.
I got an idea. The next time you just yell, shut the hell up, I'm talking.
Maybe I can have like a wheel of greetings that I spin, you know, like
maybe we can do like a Mad Libs where I come up with like a generic introduction and then you give me some like nouns and verbs. Ooh, and then that will be your official introduction.
That's good. That's pretty good. I mean, our theme song's really cool. Our introduction's really nice. It's got a good vibe. And then
we had that beatbox one for a while.
Yeah. I could always bring that back and eat up some time here. But
let's just paste stuff from other episodes and call it a night. I think that would be the smartest thing we can do. TV shows used to do that, the clip show.
Yeah. They might that might be a great way to see if anybody actually listens to us. Just like paste random sentences and smash them all together that makes no sense and see if anybody says anything to us. Like, hey, that was a strange episode. What was going on with that episode? I guarantee nobody would say a word.
Probably. They're talking about the OJ trial like it was yesterday, but I guess it's a new episode.
Yeah, we need more action, interaction from you people. We really do. Because we get numbers. We like the numbers. But then, you know, I'm not 100% convinced you guys are actually out there listening to us. And it makes me sad. It makes me upset.
Yeah. We work hard at this, and then we get tired, and then we phone it in, and then we get mad, and then we try another good episode once in a while.
Yeah. So that's our intro, guys. The podcast that phones it in. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. We're just kidding. We're a weekly podcast that, if you're just tuning in, that we try to have an interesting guest on each week, and I really, really... If you don't like this episode, go to last week's episode. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed last week's episode with the two guys from the Night Sweats. And just the overall episode was really good. So,
see, that's a really great way to make sure everybody listens to all our episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like, they'll listen to this episode. That's terrible. Go to the week before. That's even worse. But they said go to listen to the other one. And they just keep going until it's number one.
Right. They just keep going back.
And by that point, I don't care what they think.
Keep going back until you hit a good one. Like, keep going. Keep going. I promise you, it's back there. Do you think you'll ever, when you're older and maybe, you know, maybe this show ends someday, do you think you'll ever sit and try to listen to the old episodes? Like, could you see yourself?
I have a tough time listening to my voice. It was always a big thing why I had a hard time, like, when people said, tape your sets and listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
I do realize, like, if I'm like my dad listens to them. If I'm in the car and he's doing it, I'm fine. I guess it really depends on the moment. Cause I think, like 2 days ago, we were driving back from somewhere and Izzy was playing the impromptu Pumpkin Spice, whatever we did this weekend. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving, I'm like, turn that off. I do not want to hear myself talking at all. But
yeah,
I guess it just really, it's like the moment. If it's been a bit, it's like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I'll listen. But I can't just be like, we taped it on a Monday. Let me listen to it on a Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you think that's bad, you should try editing 258 of these things. I agree. I hear my voice. I'm like, oh, man, why did I laugh like that? Why did I inhale like that? Well, am I slurping? Like, what? Like, what is that? Like, how many times do you
say, what is your slurp style, out of curiosity?
I don't know. How many times can one man say, Like, I make fun of myself so bad when we're editing these things. I'm like, yeah, you sound really good. You sound really good, Scott. But, you know, I think that's everybody. I can listen to myself through comedy more than I can the podcast sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there any particular reason? Is it just different goals? Or
I think because comedy, it's like I went up with a plan. And or almost an act. So it's kind of like I know what's coming. So I know what to listen for, whereas the podcast is just like, you know, we're talking about whatever, and I don't know what the results are, and sometimes I forget, by the time I go to put it up, I forget what we talked about, so I have to scrub through it and be like, oh, that's what we talked about, and then I find us like doing 10, 15 minutes of just complete nonsense, you know, and you know, I hate myself, and then I drink heavily, and you know, go on to the next one. Episode 259.
Maybe if we just do partial nonsense, we'd be epic at this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't half-ass it. Put the whole ass into it.
At least we have longevity on our side. We've been going for a long time now. Longer than almost all my – anybody I know that has a podcast, I think we are one of the longest.
I remember – remember the Road Rash podcast with Chef Duffy?
Yes,
and
yes.
The guy from Bar Rescue. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that? Was like episode like 55 or something like that?
Probably, yeah.
It was a long time. And I remember they had like six shows that were, each one was like 4 hours long and magically gone.
Yep. And they had all that promotion behind it and like this person doing artwork for them and we were talking to them and. But Chef Duffy just had a little promotion, has just started a new show on Food Network. I forget what it's called, though, so you're going to have to look it up. But he's a really good guy, really cool guy.
Eric Duffy, right?
Brian Duffy, Chef Brian.
Brian Duffy. Brian Duffy.
Someone brought up, I don't know if I might have told this story, and if I did, go back and call me out on it. But I was reminded today, it was someone reminded me because it was the beginning of the year. And when I was teaching years ago, I signed up to be the EpiPen delegate, which basically what that means is if a kid were to have a reaction to something and needed an EpiPen, I would be one of the people that was allowed to administer it, basically. So like kind of like people who have CPR cards, you know, are certified to do this.
Now, was it like a volunteer? Was it a vote?
Volunteer.
Were you campaigning against somebody to be EpiPen man?
Vote me for first ward EpiPen delegate.
Show Ross that she can be good with the EpiPen. But everyone remembers the diabetic chicken who died 2 years ago. Vote Brennan.
Don't vote for Mrs. Smith. She once killed a boy for falsely administering EpiPen. He's now dead. But so, yeah, I was a volunteer. It was like, I've never minded any of that first aid stuff. Like, I was a lifeguard growing up for 9 years. I never minded, like, if someone cut themselves, coining them up and putting bandages on them. I never minded. I remember I had a guy who had was having a seizure in the pool. That was kind of weird. I basically just had to hold him until the seizure was done and then get him out of the pool. Like, there's nothing you can. I don't know if you've ever seen someone who's having a seizure. It's so violent, you know.
Yeah,
I've
seen one before.
And just so, like, you're not getting them out of the pool while that's going on. So you basically just got to keep them there until they kind of, like, calm down. That was not fun.
Was that, like, mid-swim they had it?
They were in the pool. They were kind of by, like, kind of standing in the pool from what I remember. There was, I was probably, like, 16, 17, something like that in high school. And it was an indoor YMCA, and the guy had it, and he just started, like, convulsing. And so we just, me and this other girl jumped in and just kind of held them and tried to, and then basically eventually passed. And we had someone call 911 and they took him for evaluation. And I guess he has seizures often. So that was kind of freaky. But yeah, I never minded, like, I hope, God willing, I never have to do CPR. That would not be fun. But,
I'd look down on you if you were looking forward to that moment.
Just driving around.
Dad, why don't you run another lap around the neighborhood? Oh, man, it's 98 out here. Why isn't it working?
I paid for the CPR course. I gotta get my money's worth out of this thing.
Are you wearing your leg weights while you're running around here?
Just driving around the track looking for people who look who look upset. putting water puddles near high electric wire.
Calling up that guy who had the seizure and, how you been doing lately?
Want to come over and watch some anime? flash.
Honey, I want you to turn the lights on and off very quickly.
So I, the day came when, cause I was just reminded of this. This is probably 5 years ago, maybe. And I just had to go to the nurse's office, and we were going to practice administering the EpiPen on an orange. She said orange is kind of like human skin, like maybe the texture of it or whatnot, or how hard it is.
So is, like, that the new TV series, Orange is the New Human Skin?
Yeah. It's a little, I think it's going to bomb, but I don't know.
Well, it's Netflix. They buy anything. But continue.
So I'm talking to the nurse. So we do the kind of practice one. You don't even have to push it in. She's just showing you how you press it against the skin, which would generally be like the thigh, which is where you normally administer it. And you press it, and it would be like, it basically goes off. It goes off like a shotgun, basically. It's like, poof, like it goes right in there quick. So there I am. We're kind of done, and I'm holding the EpiPen, and I'm talking to her. Just kind of, I'm a fidgety guy. I fidget all the time, tapple, and I'm kind of sitting there with the pen in my hand, just kind of tapping it on my leg, like while I'm standing there. I just kind of tapping, talking, just BSing, and I'm tapping it, and all of a sudden I just hear like. Like this blunt, like I don't know, like a cap gun, like a poof.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh no. Like, I didn't instantly know it was in my thumb. Okay. So I look down, I'm like, oh no. And the hook part of it, the shooting part, was bent, and it was stuck in my thumb like a fishing hook would be, kind of. Like, it was kind of like in there, I guess, the way I was holding it. I'm like, oh my God, no. And the nurse looks me in the eyes like blank stare, like, what the hell did you just do? And I, so I fish it out of there. I take it out, and she's like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like, you're going to have to go, sit down. She's like, you're going to have to go to the hospital. I'm like, there is no way on God's earth that I'm going out like on a stretcher, like a football injury. Someone who had a football, like, giving the thumbs up to, like, my class looking out the window, and my coworkers like, ah, like, you'll be okay. And she was like, well, she's like, hold on, you gotta go to the hospital. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to the hospital. She's like, well, sit down. Do you feel anything? I'm like, no, not really. And I'm just kind of like sweaty And I remember they told the principal, and he comes one, and he's like, what the hell did you do? I'm like, I don't know. but I guess the EpiPens that you use for demos are kind of expired, so they're not like fully loaded. But
okay.
So I didn't really feel much of anything. I felt stupidity. Was I think that EpiPen was loaded with embarrassment serum, because that's I was so embarrassed and just like, oh my god, like.
And then you became the lesser known member of the Avengers from that accident, as everybody knows. It gave you embarrassment and superpowers, but you literally couldn't tell anybody your secret identity just for the embarrassment of it.
Epi Man, it's a pretty lame superhero.
I just see you sticking an EpiPen in the glove in the Infinity Gauntlet. And, why is it not working? And it worked on me.
That's how I kill the, like, bad guy at the end. Kind of like he's about to like kill Captain America or something like that. He's about to kill him. You just see me jump on his back and stab him with an EpiPen in his neck. Oh!
So Thor throws a hammer, and Thanos like, you should have aimed for the head. And then Scott pops out. No, you should have aimed for the thumb. Bow.
Or. Man, Thanos snaps his fingers, and people are fading away, and I rush to put the EpiPen in their thigh, and they don't have the reaction to it anymore.
Scott, hurry up. There's 5 billion more people who need you.
I stopped the reaction. Y'all thought peanut butter was bad? You should see this Thanos thing. But yeah, that was like a pure feeling of just shame. Like, I am just dumb. Just really dumb and stupid. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that where you just like just feel so stupid. Because that was up there for me. If we were playing that Battleship game we did years ago, which we do have to bring that back. That might have been one I would put on there for embarrassing Battleship. But
yeah, I'm trying to think of anything. I mean, I've done dumb things, but it's like different categories of dumb, where it's not like everybody from work has to huddle and
right.
I'm like, no, leave me alone. God, this is embarrassing. At that level, I can't think of any. Obviously, I will come up with something for later on.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. And, yeah. So I don't know. I was reminded of that this morning. I thought I would share with our listeners, because you know. We're all honesty here.
Yeah. So, Scott, speaking of stupid people, you know how I'm Philadelphia and everything except for football.
Yeah.
And, of course, Philadelphia chooses to come back and beat my team in football. Every once in a while, I have to try to defend my people of Philadelphia, the fanship, for what they do. It kind of went to a new level. I'm not sure you heard about this one, where I'm not sure how I can really defend my boys right now.
So these are the booing Santa Claus, the cheering for injuries, the guy eating horse poop after the Super Bowl. These Philadelphians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they did boo Santa Claus, but they also threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Always remember that. But opening day. They're playing the Washington Redskins, but in another sport in Philadelphia called basketball, they have a player named Mike Scott. And I don't know if he's from the D.C. area or just a fan or whatever, but as he's been traded to Philadelphia, he was with the Clippers. He's been known this offseason to be like going out, just popping up in random Philadelphia places, get to meet people. And he's kind of got a good reputation out there. So he goes to the Eagles game with the Washington Redskins jersey on. And I don't know if he was just trying to play or if he's a fan, but he wore the jersey. And as part of it, I guess it's some kind of team rules or whatever. When you're with a team, you go to a public place, they bring security guards with them with you wherever you go. So nobody tries anything or whatever. Didn't stop it, but I'm just giving you the scene. You know? So apparently there's this fan area that's really well known for Eagles fans or whatever. And what was special about this occasion was the fan brought a coffin to the football game. He brought it as part of his tailgating excursion. They apparently have elaborate kind of setups at their tailgating.
So a legit, and like full-size coffin.
Full-size, as in when they're done with it, they'll pawn it out so somebody can get buried in it. Coffin.
Wow.
Legit coffin.
Okay.
And apparently they had like a lot of signs on around in the area, like party like it's 91, a reference to the last time the Redskins won the Super Bowl and stuff like that. So Mike Scott, the basketball player, wanted to kind of go into the area and just, you know, he understood he was going to take some stuff wearing a Redskins jersey in Philly.
Okay.
And he, apparently as he was walking around, they kind of said, Mike, this place is a little different than most places.
Right.
But he still wanted along. But he wanted to take a picture in front of the whole scenery. Now, I'm hearing different reports on what led to the next level. One thing I've heard is the coffin had on top of it the jersey of Sean Taylor, who people may know was the safety of the Redskins, who was killed when somebody broke into his house and shot him in the leg.
Yes.
There's also reports that the Philly fans who weren't taken kindly to him wearing a Redskins jersey were shouting more than their usual. Like when, as I've said before, I've gone to Redskins games in Philadelphia with my gear. I've heard the a-hole chants. I've heard F you and all that. As Mike Scott is an African-American player, the rumors are they went to that level calling him stuff.
Ugh. Oh, Philly.
So simply put, there started to be some shouting. The Sixer security guards that were there with Mike were kind of trying to push him back to stay out of it. The guys from the tailgating were walking with the security guards, still jawing off. And eventually a fight broke out between one of the players of the Philadelphia 76ers and the Philadelphia fans. Ugh. Because he wore a different jersey. I mean, from the video, the security guys were pushing Scott away, and a guy literally decided to start running in the direction and tried to take a swing at a guy, by the way, probably easily a foot and a half taller than him.
Yeah.
And it looked like Scott got a good slice at the guy in return for his attempt.
Savages.
But Philly fans, you're really making it harder and harder for me to try to defend you.
It's pretty bad, man. It's pretty bad. It always seems to swing that way, or at least – if anything, their stuff always seems to get reported more than other cities, it seems.
Yeah, I will always say the same things about Philly in a sense. I think they're the most passionate. I think they're very knowledgeable. I mean, listening to some stuff, being in Atlanta, hearing New York station, Philly fans seem to really know their stuff when they call into radio stations and so forth, and I give them that, and the passion and desire for that blue-collar kind of mentality of just get out there, grind, and win. And God damn, they keep coming back to this, and it just makes me go, boys, I can't help you on this one. I can't. He's your own.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it classy, Philly. Keep it classy. Real quick on football, looks like last week's conversation ended up being true with our pal Antonio Brown becoming a New England Patriot. One day, that like a couple, I think what the next morning after we recorded.
Later that afternoon.
Oh, that afternoon. Yeah, yeah.
When we were recording, we did, quote unquote, the breaking news that he was released.
Right.
And then 4 hours later, I get a text from you saying, LOL, I told you. Without even looking, I'm like, oh my God, they did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Patriots. I mean, now you got Brady able to throw to Brown. Gordon, Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, with Michelle and White in the backfield, and probably Gronk come around week 8, week 9.
Yeah, when he parties out all that money, it's like, uh-oh, Gronk, poor now. Then he'll show up and catch like 8 touchdowns and then re-retire.
Right, exactly. When the Patriots are 7-1 and he's like, you know, I could probably win another Super Bowl. let's go. A healthy Gronk going into the playoffs. I don't think that's ever happened. So, yeah, the Patriots just keep figuring out ways to be the Patriots.
Yeah, my bold prediction is, I'll say 7 years from now, when Brown is officially retired, he's going to put out a memoir where he basically said, this is how I stole my way into New England.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say 7 years from now when Tom Brady finally retires.
No, Tom, 20 years. I mean, the man, I think that's going to be the plot for, oh, I said that joke before.
Oh,
for Terminator. Never mind. Don't listen to that joke last week. Listen to it now.
So. Awesome. Well, I think it's time to segue into our guest here. Our guest today is a very well-known comic. You might know him from Howard Stern. You might know him from Opie and Anthony. You might just know him from just watching comedy in general. The one and only, and also the headliner of the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show, the 3-year anniversary coming up, the one and only, the Reverend Bob Levy is going to join us today, Michael.
You did remind him we're a PG format, right?
Yes, and I'm sure he took it seriously, though, right? Correct. So, strap in, ladies and gentlemen. Here comes Reverend Bob Levy.
Hey, Bob. What's up, guy? Yeah, let's start off about the weather and that shit. Just fucking, you know what I mean? Just fucking go crazy.
You want to talk about the weather? Let's talk about the weather.
Talk about fucking anything. Whatever happens today, you know what I mean? It's fucking, it's so much to talk about. You just start talking about it. That's how it feels.
Yeah? Yeah. It's a little.
That's what makes radio. That's what people want to hear. They want to hear what's fucking going on right now. They don't give a shit what happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's see.
Right.
We are the number one podcast when it comes to barometer numbers.
That's
what we strive on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's freaking great.
Yeah. So, we've been doing hours straight on the hurricane, so I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Hey, man, I just, it sucks it didn't hit and so I can kill some trailer park people, truthfully. You know? I mean, it hurts a little bit, I guess, but, you know, I can get over it. Fuck them.
The hurricane has one job, and it's screwed up.
Exactly. Yeah, let's fucking talk about that. Fuck it. Don't give a shit, you know?
Bob, what's going on, man? What are you up to?
Nah, I'm waiting. I'm going to get my operation on my neck soon, so then I'll be back, you know?
Well,
and then I have no fucking excuses, you know?
Well, why don't we start there? I know you had an injury, what is that, about 2 years ago, something like that?
Yeah.
What happened?
I got hit by a drunk driver at a red light.
Jesus.
So when do you want to start? Let's start. Let's start. Let's fucking go crazy.
We're talking about the weather. We're on, man.
All right. I don't fucking know. You gotta, you know, sometimes you give me a fucking hint, you fuck scared.
No, I know you're Christ. I know you're So, as far as the surgery, what kind of surgery are you looking at? Is it like a major surgery? Is it something that put you out for a while, or what's going on?
No, it's actually just a sex change. I felt like I can make more money as a woman comedian. Now you fuck! I got hit by a drunk driver. It's a neck injury. Jesus fucking Christ! You make it sound. Everyone's listening. Like, I knew he was gonna get a fucking vagina. You know. Everybody's thinking that because you.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knew that was going on. It was about time, is what I'm saying. It is 2019. You could be Roberta Levy, whatever you want to be.
I could be anyone. I could be Roberta Flack. I can be anyone I want to be now. I don't have to be anything. I can be nothing and still get paid because I'm something. That's nothing. You see, that's what we allow today.
How do you look at the comedy scene now, like, since you started, and how much has changed? Are you disgusted by it? What are your feelings toward it?
Let me go back to your first question, sir. How do I feel about the comedy today? Let me tell you something. How do I look at it? I look at it from a corner of a building looking in shame of what happened. Even since I've been actually like a year with the operation coming up with the car accident. What this business is becoming is a fucking joke. And it's not fucking funny to anybody that basically goes to a lot of shows. Some people do it right. Some people just want to book shit, make money, and fucking, they're not in this business for the long haul. But comedians are too stupid to fucking realize that, and they fucking business. And I'm sitting here watching it because they're paranoid fucks, man. They never had any fucking pressure in their fucking life, you know? They didn't fucking, the comedians are fuck ups, most of them, truthfully. And they never fucking, they get fired from their house because they're listening to this shit. And this is why they think everything's going to happen, so they panic, most of them. They're all fucking lunatics. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people out there that's going to make a fortune off somebody else's dreams, So that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Fucking modern-day prostitution of comedians today. Who's not a fucking comedian? You guys are comedians, right?
Sure thing, man. Sure thing. Yeah. Of course.
Okay. Well, see, that's what it is. One of my dogs will be a comedian in 2 weeks. I'm writing fucking, things he can growl, you see what's out there, okay? I'm not fucking making this shit up. And for people, I want to put a guarantee on my show. You know what I mean? I'm putting a guarantee like All American Burger in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. 100%. I will, if you don't enjoy this show, or you'll get your money back. Because that's how the confidence that I have in me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not this business, in me. Don't hold it against me because of what other people do on stage and off stage.
Now, do you feel some of these comedians are just kind of wussing out when they say they won't do colleges or anything like that?
Of course. Dude, I mean, if you pay me to go to a college, I will go there. I will offend everybody, and I will fucking leave with a smile on my face and your check in my pocket. Do you understand it? What am I trying to change by not fucking making great money? You know what I mean? It's the people that fucking, the comedians that work for shit money that ruin it for everybody else. That's what's wrong. It's not about, you should be offended of taking shit money when you should be on the top of your game.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you do. You see so many shows where people are barely paying anything. They're barely, the promoter is making all the money, where the acts are making nothing.
But you do see that most promoters have really big houses, as most comedians probably smaller than theirs.
Some don't have one.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying.
Of course.
So if the money is not in being, talented, it's where you just know, hey, I can make money off this, and it's a business move,
So now,
who's smarter? Not the brilliant comedian.
Right. So now seeing the business change so much, and like you said, being embarrassed by what's happened, do you still have as much love for comedy as you always have?
Oh, dude, totally, guys, totally, man. You know what I mean? Right. If you lose that, you shouldn't even be in the fucking game. You should feel bad about taking money from people. You have to love this. You have to know that everyone that came tonight in front of me has to go with a good fucking time and fucking, just one of the best times they ever had. Because that makes it for you, too. That's what makes you fucking, fucking get in the car and drive for a while or go on a fucking plane. To go and fucking make people happy in another state. I can't even make people happy in this fucking state when I'm not working. You understand? Now all of a sudden I'm in charge of this shit. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's the greatest fucking job in the world, Holy shit. If all they have to do to make this the best job in the world is they sign someone to blow you after you've left the club. Okay?
I actually arranged that for you at our Tap House 15 show. So
Okay, you see, you know what you're doing. That's why it's great for everybody. Now you understand where, you know, there's a difference between that's making it. And to me, that's making it. I don't need to be on NBC. I can go home. Oh, you're gonna tell your kid, oh, you know, oh yeah, I used to be on Seinfeld. Yeah. Well, fucking, you know, look at the people now that are on TV. You know, they're just fucking people that are going in other countries and marrying people. Those are the stars now.
Right.
Fuck it. It doesn't matter anymore. I'd rather be known as the guy that fucking made good money, made people laugh, and fucking got blown at the end of every show as in contract. As in the contract. That's all he ever wanted. And he can walk out of there down the fucking, you know, at the going out of the locker room with a towel on my back after the Super Bowl. That's how I feel. That's how he's going in.
Throw your cum towel to the kid that comes to see you and says, okay, oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, and then he fucking breaks his arm and his fucking teeth get chipped out from my fucking cum sock. But then that kid has a story for his grandkids. That's what comedy's about. Bob Levy's cum sock knocked out four of my teeth, and he fucking gave a high five to Mean Joe Green after he threw the shirt at
him. Oh, man, I love it.
You see, this is why I come back to this business. I come back to this business. They did not ask me to come back to my business, but I did, because the Godfather has to be back. But the whole thing is this. Listen, you come back, you see a different thing, right? You see, fucking, I said, hey, they called me up for a gig. I'm not fucking, you know what I mean? I'm not fucking Richard Petty. Oh, no, Richard Petty's dead, so I'm a better driver than him.
No, he's still alive. You think of Dale Earnhardt, my friend.
Dale Earnhardt. Okay, I'm no Dale Earnhardt. Okay, you know, better than that. Look, but I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what's good? They give you medical weed for pain. It's the greatest thing in the world. That's why I'm more brilliant now than ever. Because finally my doctor is working on my side.
Well, you're so great with just spitballing. And so when you first got in, was this always your style, or did you fall into the all the comedians are doing like a Seinfeld or something like that and had a routine and everything?
Listen to me. Side, a slow build is never going to make it. Never makes it in anything in fucking life, okay? You know, you have to go up there. You have to be fast. You have to, you know, because when you get used to your first start, you know, you're fucking like, this is terrible. So you have to fucking throw punchline after punchline. If you go fucking 100 miles an hour, if everything hits, it's the greatest fucking feeling in the world. You know, it's like you have to do that. That's the only way it's going to really work.
Bob, what's your writing style as far as material? Are you a pen to paper guy? Or are you just work it out on stage, have an idea?
I'll say something on stage. I go, fucking remember that. And then they go, did you really mean to tell me to remember that? Every time I'm working with somebody, they never fucking do that. It could be the same person over and over. I go, remember that. When I said I'm on stage, it was that fucking, you know what I mean? and every show afterwards, it could happen to the same guy 10 times. Oh, you were serious about you wanted me to remember? Of course I fucking did. I wouldn't have stopped my set to tell you that because I knew I was on to something.
You got the cops coming in the background?
The cops? No. Oh. That's probably a kid playing with the horn or something. Yeah, everything's all right here. You know what I mean?
So, Bob, did you?
Wait, hold on. By the ankle and pull it out of the yard. Okay, go ahead.
So, did you actually start as a in the wrestling business?
Well, I didn't start. Wrestling started way before me, but it was probably 1992. I thought it was, yeah. Something like that, 94.
Uh-huh.
And it was great. It was just fucking, me and Jim Norton did Vince McMahon's basketball movie. We didn't have to blow anybody or anything, right? We did comedy there. Okay, so I did the show for Shane McMahon, whatever the fuck his name is, and Vince liked me a lot, and he said, you know, you can talk really talk anytime, but you know, they fucking, you know, he basically said, you know, go to school, you know, check it out, and my neighbor was doing it, and I just went there for nothing, and fucking learned. It was fun.
Huh.
He's a relationship with them, or he just pretty much that's in the past with wrestling.
Yeah, it basically it was like fucking somebody at the party drunk and they're gonna give me a job. Yeah, that's the bullshit. Okay, that's what happens. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically, oh, you're the greatest thing I ever said. Oh, you're gonna fuck my daughter. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do that, and we're gonna pay you. You know, that's every time a comedian, somebody sees a comedian after a show.
So now, take us through the Stern days when you were submitting tunes, you were submitting dirty line, all sorts of different things. Did you know anybody on the show beforehand, or were you just calling in and getting airtime, and just did it just grow over time?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the beginning, KC, you know, KC was doing comedy and that shit, and then he heard about me, and they heard about the Blue Cheese bit, which just happened to happen one night. And then I called in. Howard wanted to hear about the Blue Cheese thing. And that was the first call. You know, and then you feel like somebody's giving you time to put on a great show, like the greatest show, you know? You start doing other things. You say, hey, I'm part of this. You start writing, you start sending shit in, you know? That's what you do. And it was great. It was so funny at this time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is now, truthfully, but it was the greatest time.
So now, when that was all going on, were you working clubs and developing your act? Was that the very beginning of your career, or were you doing comedy before that?
I was headlining.
After
2 years when I started, you know what I mean?
Right.
So this was like perfect. This is perfect. This is perfect timing, perfect everything for a comedian like me. You know what I mean? It was just like perfect.
For sure.
There's no other way you can look at it. It was like, I listen to this all the time, and now I'm fucking on it. Wow. You know? That's what you go for.
Mm.
That's anything.
How different was it for you from going from like a contributor on the show to actually having your own radio show?
It's fucking great, man. You know, I knew I could do it. You know, I knew if I put right people around me, it's easy. Fucking, there's nothing like fucking, you know, doing radio, talking about shit. You know, shit happens all the time. People want to hear about it. It happens to them every fucking day. You know? Right now, somebody's at home stoned going, fuck, I even forgot what he was talking about. You see? That's what I'm talking about.
Right. So you've had a lot. You've been part of a bunch of different radio shows. I know. Aren't you attempting to do a new show now too?
Yeah, yeah. Like I did Kid Chris radio. You know, Kid Chris show.
Yep.
He was on Philly talking. He was everywhere. San Antonio. I was with him before I was with Star. That way.
Yep.
And it was fucking great. And yeah, now we're gonna do syndicate radio, which is like we're just getting all the camera shit learning. We are learning how to do it, which is, if it's more than a button, this is going to take a while. So they're going to have to really sit, you know, teach my wife how to do it, because I don't know what. You know, I just know we'd go online and, like, do this and that. You show me fucking buttons, you know, too many buttons. It's like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Yep.
You think there's a lost art to morning radio nowadays? Because it doesn't seem like it was back in the day where there was like four or five, and now it just seems like Z Morning Zoo half the time on terrestrial.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it changed. Nobody wants to hear a bell ring. Come on, man. No. Nobody's happy that, you know, somebody won $50. That.
Wacky let's sound
talk
effects.
About fucking, yeah, let's talk about your aunt taking two black cocks in an alley last night. I mean, there's nothing. What the fuck else? You know, when I hear this, why is something, you know, it's 7:30 in the morning. You know, go fuck yourself, you know? Yeah. It's like, tell him, you know, guess where you're going? You're going to the Pocono. Who gives a fuck to Poconos? Nice trip, assholes.
So what do you got going on? What kinds of things?
Well,
What kinds of things you got going on now? What are you working on? I know you got the surgery coming up, but what are your plans going on now? You have any shows?
You know, my thing is to ease back into the male entertainment business. And then, you know, no, I'm going to be working like weekends all the time. I'm ready to go. Get the operation, stretch out a little bit, make sure my neck can move further enough where I can, you know, where if somebody came up to me and said, you know, because sometimes your neck gets fused, right? So you can't move it. So you have to exercise it.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. And stretch it as far as you can to get it safe. Because say I get this operation, I can't move my neck, right?
Right.
And some guy comes up with a gun and goes, suck my dick. Unless I shoot you and I don't move my head back, he's going to think I want it. You understand? That is the exact reason why I almost, in my crazy mind, I said, I can't get this operation. I wasn't getting it for a while, but that was the thing.
If that scenario presented itself.
Yeah, so it basically wrote a joke for me on stage. Is it true? This is fucking, that was a thought. If I can't move my head, I'm going to die looking like I was into it. Because I didn't pull away.
great funeral too. Great funeral story. Oh man,
oh, God.
You heard how
an open head and an open mouth.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on for a few minutes.
We're done. What, you guys can't fucking stay on? What do you got, busy life? Like, I don't have a busy life. So
oh no, I thought you only wanted a 20-minute call with us. That's why I was respecting.
20 minutes. I tell all the whores I'm only doing 20. Come on.
Oh, I can
take
talk.
It easy.
I'll talk to you all night.
Well, let's go, motherfucker. Until my wife comes back with the dog food, let's fucking talk, motherfucker.
Until your wife comes up with the dog food?
Yeah. I said, honey, they're out of dog food. Dom's going to come back. You know, my son, Dom. I call him Nigger Dom because he's fucking never helps me out. You know, it's just hilarious. It's like, you know, I was like, you know, when I got married, you know, he loves it now. So he's down all the time. I go, where were you downstairs when I was fucking crippled and I needed fucking water, you cocksucker? And now I can't get rid of the fuck. He's in my face every day.
Now, I remember when I worked with you in Atlantic City, you were telling me about your son's a pretty talented musician, correct?
Oh, yeah. He's fucking, look, I sound like the Wahlberg of douchebags. Well, Paul, the one that looks like the fucking inbred brother, has the most talent of all of us. No, he doesn't. He looks like a slug that was pulled out of the pussy too fucking early. It didn't have time to cook like the rest of the family. But the fact is, my son is the most talented motherfucker in the world. And I'm not just saying that. He even comedy, he fucking wrote a Chris Rock joke right after it happened. And he said that because as soon as he found out, I think that night they said that Chris Hart went home after the accident, or Kevin Hart, whatever the fuck, Kevin Hart went home after the accident. And he goes, yeah, he goes, they know that he wasn't driving because where they found the car seat. And that was right away. And I was like, fuck, I didn't even think it going that way. Then you see all the memes with something. I was safe. I had my car seat on. But he like told me that night. I had no idea. I was like, fuck, man, he smokes a lot more weed than I do.
Now, is he a guitar player, a drummer? What is it?
He plays the bass, the guitar. Like, he plays, you know, he does solo. But he plays in, like, the original band that they're putting out an album or whatever they're doing now for some big people to see what happens. And then he's in like five other bands. He's always out there and he's fucking unbelievable on bass, but he plays lead for some bands too.
That's awesome. That's gotta be cool to know that, like, you know, the creativity gene, you know, as far as artists, like, you know, comedy, to see like your son doing something, you know, in the same realm, but something completely different expression.
You know, it just makes you think that, you know, somewhere maybe in fucking Buffalo, there's a fucking kid of mine running around with fucking doing something really good in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
You know? Well, let me ask you all the stuff that you've done on the road. Is there hints that you got given your child? Is there something you're really like, all right, I did this, don't do this? Look, I mean, what do you say, turn down pussy? Come on. I mean, how do you say that to your son out of all people? You know, it's like always You know what I mean? Always fucking come in their mouth or, and kick them down the steps before you leave. That's all I tell them.
Okay.
So
okay, let me write this down.
Probably advice, you know? But you can't turn down pussy, right? If you're on the road. My thing is, say you don't want to go with some. You know what I mean? Look, I've been married 4 times. It doesn't really work well. Okay? So, you know, that's the main thing. It's like, stay single, enjoy yourself. And I was going to ask him today, I go, your fucking life is pretty fucking great. You know, you live here and you fucking get to do what, you know, this is what I live. And I was like, this is fucking great. What's my bill? What's, you know, nothing. Are you going to go spend $30 on KFC, you dumb fuck? You know what I mean? Like, but like he'll do shit like that. So it's like, wow, he is like me. He's just a young douchebag enjoying life and talented. That's great.
So what outside of comedy, what kind of things are you into?
Mostly, I enjoy sunny days and date rapes.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Naturally.
There's
no like
the
strange hobbies.
Yeah.
There's no strange hobbies you're into that we don't know about, like something that you're really good at.
I see. Okay, when I'm on the phone, I basically walk like the last 3 miles. What I've been talking is, I don't stop walking. I just go around in circles in the house. So it's pretty bizarre, especially when the neighbors look through the window and see me walking and yelling. My shadow.
Naked. Stark naked.
Yeah, with dog food in my hand. I said, and buy the big bag, and you wouldn't have to go out for it now. You like that one, huh?
Yeah.
You see? We'd have the big one. You the little one. Let's get a little stronger, huh? So you can carry the big one. And then we don't have to go through this every 4 days.
I gotta ask you. I was looking up some things. Right? Were you you performed at Woodstock?
Oh yes, I did.
What the
I
hell did. Was that like?
It was fucking amazing. It was like they put us on a fucking the back of a truck, like you know, like the where they put the trailers on.
Uh-huh.
That like had wood on it. Fucking, it was horrible. Nobody wanted to hear us. And when Don Jameson was up there, somebody threw it. 32-liter fucking bottle of piss at him. It was probably the funniest thing I've ever seen on stage.
So were you,
when you got a big bottle of piss coming at you, something's going wrong.
So were they attempting to have you perform in to the giant crowd, or is it like a little side thing
it was
going
a,
on?
It does, yeah, side stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's still part of it, you know?
Right. I just can't see that fitting in anybody paying any attention to you guys.
It doesn't matter. It was fucking cool.
That's
like,
awesome.
I brought an 8-ball with me, and I fucking had a good weekend. I got paid. You know?
Speaking of crazy gigs and all, what's it like boxing Danny Bonaducci?
Oh, well, that was like all fake. You know what I mean? It was like everything was set up, and it was just brutal. It was like, I don't know. It was so, that was the hardest thing I had to lie about. I don't know how to lie, and it just made me so mad that I had to lie to his face, you know? That was bullshit. It was just brutal. It was brutal. Because I just say, there's no reason to choose my son. There's no reason to lie. Never, no reason to say sorry because you fucking, you know, you shouldn't be one of those people that say sorry. I don't say sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
And you say, well, sorry it upset you. You know? Fuck you. You know?
Yeah. Do you have any major regrets in your career?
Well, none, you know what I mean? Not really, because, you know, it's like, I remember when everyone went to the city and I was just having a shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, to me, to get famous wasn't a thing that was important at that moment. It was, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm happy. I have a kid. I'm doing very good. I don't need to be one of those douchebags that are there. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it changes. It changes the way you look at life. If you look at life as important, you make the right decision. Because if I did it the other way, it could have backfired 6 ways. You understand? I'm pretty happy the way things turned out.
For sure. For sure.
What's the better crowd, Philly or New York?
Philly. Philly, when they're on your side, they're the best in the fucking world. You know, them in Boston? Fucking amazing. It's like they'll carry your balls around the whole fucking room, you know, because it's fucking our town. This is our fucking town. These are people that fucking love their towns, you know?
Mm-hmm. Beat up their own basketball players for wearing other jerseys, yep.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Is there anything worse than working with Joe Conte?
Finding out your third child is black? I don't know. you know what? That's pretty fucking... That's a good question to close this on. Because,
yep.
You know, I've had people that were fucking awful human beings to me. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, he's a cousin of Hitler. You'll love him, you know? And then all of a sudden, you find out you're going to be with Joe Conte.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do you believe in God? How do you not go to the church? And, you know, you got to say, look, there is no, how, you're not here. There's no God to do this. Why would God do this to me?
Right.
And you go there to the fucking priest and you tell him, Joe Conte, and he's like, he grabbed you by the balls. Now, two bad things have happened to you since finding out about Joe Conte. These are things that will always be around him that will curse you. That's why his life is so fucking... That's why he's yabba-dabbed you happy all the time. You ever notice that? Because of the damage he does to other people's life, that God gives him a great life. He enjoys everything. He's got a dog that loves him. His wife finds him attractive.
I know. That's the strangest part, yeah.
Okay, so this is what's going on. Yet, when you sit there, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're below him or you're fucking like Eddie Murphy, you wish you had his life. You wish you had his life because it's just like I said, yabba-dabba-doo happy. And that motherfucker does that. He affects other people's lives by hurting it because you don't think it could be true. And it is. And that's why I love Joe Conte.
One of the best. One of the best guys I know.
I love him. I love him and John Kensler. I go, you two ruin it for everybody. Everybody that's a douchebag, a little bit, you ruin it for. They're too good.
He is a good dude. Unless you get him going on politics, then you want to drive the car into a tree. But
who, Conte?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, he don't star with me, I guess, because I'll be like, what are you, an asshole? You know what I mean? It's not much of an argument with me. I just call you an asshole right off the bat. It's like,
oh, yeah, he just
a good argument.
He gets that real passionate, you know, like he gets his hands going, he gets real passionate and calls everyone a douchebag. It's wonderful. So,
well, it's because it's an Italian move. It's an Italian defense move that was used in the 1890s. It was basically, you know, it was used many times, and you know, it's an easy thing to do right now. Once you get the hands moving, now you're taking up area. You understand? People are not coming into that area. It's a fucking genius move, and it was invented. You know what I mean? Once you want to get away from people, start waving your hands or do something. They were way ahead of people. They were even ahead of people.
Well, it's clearly working for Conte. It's clearly working for Conte.
Well, Conte, if he didn't look like a gorilla, okay, this would actually work for him. As he looks like a gorilla by doing these moves, he looks like a primate that's ready to attack.
He does, at all times. At all times. And with that, you can catch Joe Conte and Bob Levy and myself on September 26th, our 3-year anniversary show. Bob's going to come out and headline the show, and it's always a good time. Looking forward to working with you again, Bob, and I want to thank you for just giving us a few minutes.
This was fun. You know, this was fun. You guys know what the fuck you're doing. This is fun.
Well, we've been doing it for 5 years, so maybe about this time we start to know a little bit what we're doing.
All right, well, we're going to put your shit up on Syndicate, too. Just put it up. I don't know if you videotape it, you know, whatever. We'll put up the sound.
All right.
Get more hits. Fuck it. It don't matter.
Sounds good. Definitely. I'll send it to you when it's up. So, Bob, I want to thank you so much for coming on, giving us a few minutes. You're funny as always, man, and sharp as a tack. So, love talking to you, and thanks again. The one and only Bob Levy, Mike Berlew.
Yeah, I look forward to his upcoming children book.
Bobby and the Boys. Meet the Reverend.
I mean, Bob Levy is what he's advertised as. I mean, he'll come straight at you and tell that it is and drop whatever words he likes. You know, he's a hell of a guy. I'll give him credit. No, he has no fear when he talks. So,
oh, no, absolutely. He's been that way for as long as I can remember. The Stern days, I remember him on Opie and Anthony. He was always with that crew of like the Florentines, Vosses, Norton, Don Jameson, like that. Those like Jersey comics that like dominated the airways back then that like I think a lot of people our age got into, you know, got really into comedy around then, especially with like Tough Crowd on and those radio shows. I think it was really it was a really cool time to like discover comedy because it was like it was way before this everybody offended, worrying about everything. It seemed like it was like no holds barred during that time. So definitely remember Bob Levy pretty clearly in those days. So and he'll be with us in 2 weeks. So all right, so we got a little better connection here. Before you tell a story, guys, Joe Conte is a very funny comic. I might as well promote him a little bit. Good friend of ours. Good friend of the show. Good comic. Yep. Really been on a bunch guy. Of shows. Really good guy. Just love busting his balls a little bit. And he is one half of the Conte and Kenny show, which is on every Monday night. And he's also just started the Honeymooners podcast. So. Yep. That guy knows everything about the Honeymooners. So if you're interested, go check them out before Mike gets into this dream. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. So as you know, me and my wife go to a gym that teaches kickboxing and some other martial arts. So in her dream, she shows up to the gym, and who's on the mat doing jiu-jitsu but Joe Conte and Otto from Otto and George.
Jeez. Joe Conte and Otto.
And yeah, and she's just like, look, well, what the hell are they doing there? Oh, they came here for the jiu-jitsu class, and they're really training hard. And apparently that one of the instructors came in and started yelling, get those two off the mat, get those two off the mat. One of them guys got a colostomy bag. We can't have them do jiu-jitsu on the mat. And that was the end of the dream.
One of them had a colostomy bag. Now, which one is the real question?
I don't know if she really defined it 100%. I want to say leaning towards Conte as the answer, but I can't 100% sure. And I'll reiterate, to be fair to Joe Conte, I do not believe he has a colostomy bag, but that was just the premise of the dream at hand.
Wow. I mean, it does.
Like, I was asking her, did Otto have George with him? Was he like doing jiu-jitsu moves while holding onto a puppet that was cursing at people? But she said the puppet was nowhere there.
I got to see Otto and George once, thankfully, and just talking to a lot of comics that knew him well, he just seemed like a really amazing person for what it seems like. A lot of people talk very, very, very highly of Otto and his just his demeanor and the person he was. And I know his comedy was super funny. I know that. But I did see him once. I actually saw him once a long time ago when the first time I ever saw Joe Fernandez do comedy back when I used to work with him. He was like opening one of the openers. So that's how going a long ways back. But Otto and George is a pretty classic New Jersey comedian. So if you've never heard of him, go check him out. He's probably the original like dirty ventriloquist, like super dirty, like amazingly sharp and funny.
Yeah, like there's no again, kind of going to Reverend Bob Levy. Don't bring your kids to YouTube to listen to good old Otto and George because they're going to learn some new words that night if you do so.
You're going to get some strange questions at the dinner table. That's what I'm going to say. But I guess we're just going to – we'll segue right out of here because we kind of promoted – we'll promote Conte's show again, the Conte and Kenny Conte and Kenny show, the Honeymooners podcast. Berlew's got Michael Berlew random stuff coming up, some pumpkin spice, whatever. If you like Bob Levy, I believe there's a couple of seats left for the Tap House 15 comedy show, which is on the 26th with me hosting, and Bob Levy and Joe Conte and Matt Jenkins and the very funny Sharon Simon. It is a killer show. It is our 3-year anniversary, so come support. I'm also going to bring some Verbal Shenanigans shirts out there, so, and I think I'm just going to hand some out. I got to get rid of these so I can get new ones. So come on and get some swag. Support the show, support the comedy shows, all that stuff. Yeah, that's it, guys. If you could leave us a review on iTunes, that really helps us populate. Also, if you could share the podcast, that is really, really important. That is probably the best way to help, because you could listen to it and say, hey, this is really funny. I think you would like this, or really, this is terrible. You guys got to listen to how bad a podcast could possibly be. Either way, it gets us a listen or two, and that's what makes us happy.
Yeah, and share it out, subscribe to us, talk to us. Twitter at VS Comedy. We're on Instagram at Verbal Shenanigans. Facebook at Verbal Shenanigans. Talk to us. If you have some interesting people to want to talk to us, you know, hook us up.
Yeah, talk to us. Insult us. We don't care. Tell us we're terrible. I mean, we've accepted it at this point.
We're used to that.
we've been, like I said, going for about 5 years. So we could accept the being awful. But again, this is episode 259, Berlo. 259. Climbing our way to 300. I would say that's the next landmark, I guess. 300 episodes.
I mean, I don't know many people who go crazy about 275.
No. But anyway, also another thing you can do for us is go check out our back catalog. We have had so many amazing guests. I'm not going to list them all, but just this year, John Walsh from America's Most Wanted. Just last week, if you like Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, we had Jeff Daisy and John Pope the Third on. Joseph Pope. Really cool. Wait, is it John Pope or Joseph Pope? Why is my brain not working?
It's Monday.
Joseph Pope the Third. So go check that episode out. That was a really fun episode last week. So other than that, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back, bro. Peace.
It's a mystery to me. We have agreed with which we have agreed. And you think you have to want more than you need. Until you have it all, you won't be free. Society, you're crazy breed. You're not lonely without me. When you want more than you have, you think you need. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. I think I need to find a bigger place. 'Cause when you have more than you think, you need more space. Society, you're crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me.